on your wedding day, you're gonna sing that. Can you see what the Lord has done when you walk into that property? Can you see what the Lord has done when that healing happens?
What we've been praying for, He has brought to pass. See what the Lord has done.
Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Good evening, everyone.
Bless the Lord. Good evening, sis.
Good night.
We bless the Lord for another opportunity to meet like this, to be gathered in this fashion. And there's no doubt that the presence of the Lord is already here with us. And so as we are about to get started, I'm going to invite Sister Shanique, who will be praying our opening prayer for us. To go right ahead. Sister Shanique, go ahead, sis.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let us reverence our heart before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords tonight, people.
Praise God.
Heavenly Father, I glorify you, Lord. I bless your name, Lord. You are worthy, Lord, of so much that we give, so much more than what we offer to you, Lord. But Lord, your praise shall continually be in our mouths, Almighty God. You are King of Kings, Lord. You are Lord of Lords.
Jesus.
You are the Lion, the tribe of Judah tonight, Almighty God.
Hallelujah.
And all that we do and all that we say, Almighty God, comes from you tonight, Almighty God. God, I come before you with a heart full of thanksgiving and gratitude and praise tonight, Jesus, for what we are about to receive, mighty God. Thank you, mighty God, for tonight. Thank you, mighty God, for another gathering. Thank you for your endless love, your grace, and your mercy, mighty God. In every trial and tribulation, mighty God, we thank you for strength. We thank you that you remain sovereign and faithful to us, mighty God. Thank you for your goodness towards us, mighty God. You never fail. You never change, Almighty God. You are faithful to the very end, Almighty God. You never disappoint
yes,
us,
Lord
Mighty God.
Jesus.
Your promises are yes and amen, God. And we
yes.
give you thanks tonight, Mighty God. Heavenly Father, tonight, God, we come before you, Almighty God, and we pour out, Almighty God, everything that is in us, Almighty God, that is not of you. And be ready with minds open to receive whatever is placed on our leaders' hearts to bring us guidance, leadership, and a transformative word, mighty God. God, I pray, Almighty God, for our sins. I pray, Almighty God, that you forgive us of our sins, Almighty God. We confess our sins right now, mighty God. You said in your word, Lord, if we confess our sins, mighty God, you'll be willing and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness.
Thank you, Jesus.
So right now, Lord, I'm asking you to search us, cleanse us, purify us, Almighty God,
Jesus Christ.
And help us, Lord, to be receptive of what we're about to receive. God, I thank you for another gathering tonight, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the teaching, the guidance that we are about to receive. I pray, Almighty God, that our minds will be receptive, that we'll be receptive to what we are about to learn, to apply to our daily lives as we continue on our spiritual journey, mighty God. God, I pray over our leaders right now, mighty God.
Jesus.
I pray that you'll give them guidance, Lord.
Yes.
I pray, mighty God, that you'll fall a fresh anointing on them, Almighty God.
Jesus.
Purify them, Almighty God. And consecrate them, mighty God.
Yes, Lord.
Heavenly Father, any spirit in this platform that is not of you, Almighty God, that you will remove right now, Jesus.
In the mighty name,
God. Heavenly Father, if there's anything I fail of asking in this moment, mighty God, I pray that you will grant us, Lord. And I pray, Almighty God, that you continue to be with us on this walk because it's not easy. But God, we look to you and I thank you for the people that you have placed in our lives to help us on this journey.
Jesus.
And this
God.
moment, mighty
Hallelujah.
God, I thank you for it. And I tell you thanks for what we are about to receive, mighty God. And I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord,
Lord
my friend
Jesus.
and my redeemer. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise God. Bless the Lord. Thank you so much,
Hallelujah.
Sister Shanique. Hallelujah. And I'm in agreement with the prayer that you would have prayed in Jesus' name. Praise God. And so I want to use this opportunity to welcome each of us to the platform once more. We met once before, and we were looking at the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, the last time we met. This time it's a little different because this time we are going to be discussing some areas of concern, areas of struggles that you would have displayed in our survey. I want to use this opportunity before I go any further to acknowledge Deacon Scott, who is on the platform with us. He's going to be assisting with answering the questions that we put forward. I want to welcome each of you. I want to apologize also for Elder Edwards, who is unavoidably absent today. So she sends her blessings and her prayers are with us, but she will not be with us for this meeting. There are still a few more persons to join. I'm hoping that as we go along, they will join. I know for one person, she's still at work and she'll listen in whenever she gets a chance to. I'm still waiting on the others and, to see what will happen as we go along. Praise God. And so, bless the Lord. It's good to be here. Amen.
Bless the Lord.
Amen. I want to just prepare you, to get ready because each time we come on, we're going to have different persons praying and different persons doing little stuff. And this is a practice platform, amen, where you'll come. So thank you, Sister Shanique. You were first. And so by the next time, it's going to be somebody else and somebody else and until each person gets a chance, amen. Because that's one of the ways that we will grow. We have to practice. If we want to be good at anything, we must practice in order to do well and to grow, amen. So
Amen.
I invite you to just be open. We are here and none of us here is perfect. So, and everybody prays differently. Everybody does stuff differently. So, and that's okay. Amen. You're not being judged or anything. So if you're asked to pray and just encourage you, just receive it and just ask the Holy Spirit to fill your mouth with words. Amen. You'll be surprised at your very self. Amen. Praise God.
Bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord. And so tonight we are going to get right into the survey, Your Issues Live. These are issues or problems that are areas that we would need, or weaknesses that we would need to work on some. And so we would have put it in the survey anonymously, which I believe is good. And so we're just going to discuss it openly. If while we're sharing responses, if it might not have been your question initially, but if you are led and you want to ask a follow-up question based on the response, please feel free to do so. Post it in the chat or indicate, open your microphone, will allow you to do so. Amen. We are here to address the problems, to give plausible and workable solutions and nothing more, nothing less. Amen. And so we're going to see. There's no guarantee that we'll cover everything tonight, just looking at the questions and the depth of it, because what we want is to ensure that persons leave here with something, that they can pull on. It's not just to say, oh, we finished it and then it's not impactful or meaningful, right? We want to spend the time that is necessary on the question so it brings clarity so that we will know how to progress onwards. Praise God.
Amen.
So before we get into it, Deacon, is there anything that you wanted to add?
Yeah, I just want to let you know that as Sister Camille would have mentioned that this is a non-judgmental platform. And there is no question that you may think that is too trivial or whatever. Every question is weighted equally across the board. So don't be afraid to share what's on your mind as it is. You won't be judged. This is a small group and we're here to grow together and believe. And the questions that you had submitted that you want help and guidance with. Sometimes, who knows, we are struggling with the same aspect as well. So we grow and learn together, because it's good, better, best. It's not like all of us, it's not like because we are here for a very long time in Christendom means that we could have all the answers to everything or live in the way that we ought to, but we are striving towards a common purpose. Amen. So we grow together in Jesus' name, Sister Camille.
Amen. Bless the Lord. And so, yes, thank you, Deacon. All right. So the first question that was on the survey is, what is your biggest area of struggle? What is your biggest area of struggle on your Christian walk so far? So these would have been areas, the responses that were given, and we're going to share on them. The first one is lack of discipline. And I think that one's for you, Deacon. Your
Yes,
area of struggle is lack of discipline. So how do I, develop that discipline or move from that lack of spiritual discipline?
yeah, that's a very good question. And in any area of life that you tend to endeavor, you will have to exercise discipline, even if you're in track and field. If you're not disciplined enough to train, you won't be a good athlete, if you're not. If you're a soldier, if you're not disciplined enough to wake up and go on patrol and go on the duty, you won't be effective. Just like it is in Christendom, in Christian, as a Christian, there is a measure of discipline that we have to. Paul would say that I keep myself under, I keep it under so that I may win the prize. I so train so that I may win. When we look at St. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, it said, "Seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all things will be added unto you." So you have to have like a clear intention when it comes on to spiritual discipline. You have to have a clear intention, and that aim or your desire, it will keep you on track. When you say seek ye first, and all things will be added unto you, you're going to try to seek the Lord in whatever you do. You're going to want to seek him so that all things will be added unto you. When we look at St. Luke chapter 5 and verse 16, it said, "But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and pray." As Christians, we model Christ. We are little Christ. Christians, we are little Christ. So whatever Christ does, that's the things that we will seek to do. So he withdraw himself to lonely places. So it create you have to create intentionally create a daily habit of prayer, reading the scripture and reflection. Sometimes you're just in the mood to just meditate, just to reflect. And something that you have heard from in the Bible or some passage. It's not like taking a whole chapter. Sometimes it's not reading a whole chapter, but just settling on a verse. Just a verse, just take it bit by bit. Don't like, because it's better for you to like read just a verse and get a meaning, get a meditation on that verse more than to read, scan through a whole chapter and don't get nothing from it. A good book to do verses from is like the book of Proverbs. Each verse stands on its own. It's like you don't need no follow-up. It's not a follow-up from another verse. Any verse in the Proverbs, you're open to. You can meditate on that verse and it gives you wisdom. It really set the tone for the day. We all need to create like a sacred peace, a sacred peace, a sacred place, whatever you want to call it, somewhere where you feel comfortable praying. I remember when I was a young Christian, my sacred place was in my car, believe it or not. It was my time driving to work. I find that as a soulless place, so I would be driving. I forget about the distraction with the traffic and with that and with that. I lock in it, my Jesus. So what I would always do to have a physical contact or a physical reminisce of the situation, I would fasten the seatbelt on the passenger side, and I would say, "That's my Jesus right beside me right there." And I realized that as long as the seatbelt is fastened, I am comforted. I have to be intentional about it. And I will be there conversing with him. I'll be there asking him questions. I'll be there. You have to be like intentional. You have to make your Christian walk interesting. So you create a sacred place. Some of you can have a sacred place at home. When you're using the toilet, believe it or not, when you're using the toilet, when you're having a shower, of late, whenever I goes into the shower, I don't know where a song come from in my mind. And I always be humming a song in my mind and stuff. There is always, a meditation that you have. Just be intentional about it, because we need to grow somehow or the other. And as I said before, start small. Don't just jump into the hard Old Testament passages where it's hard for you to even pick sense out of anything there. Start with the easy New Testament, things that really come out alive to you. Amen. And practice a mind focus, a mind, a mindfulness. Just make your mind be in the right place. The psalmist would say in Psalm 46 and verse 10, the A part of it, he say, "Be still and know that I am God." So practice, have a steady mind. I know in this world that we live in, it is very chaotic. A lot of things just show it at you, and it comes sometimes without any introduction. You just go right into the main body of stuff. You'll get a phone call and it's some bad news. It just show your entire day off. Somebody says something to you and it just changes your mood and whatever. So the season that we're living in is a mood changing season. And for you to really focus on the internal man that is within you, it takes intention. You have to be intentional about it. And as we are doing now, seek guidance. Seek those that in the church, the elders, call upon the elders, the deacon, the pastors, the youth leaders and whatever, and get strength in whatever area, because we were made for community. We weren't made to live this Christian life by ourselves. We are made for community, and each one help one. I may have a victory last week, and you are struggling to get that victory that I had last week. So I'm able to tell you, how did I get that victory? And have a reflection, have a personal reflection. Know that the same God who has brought you, who has saved you, he's the one that is able to see you through. You didn't save yourself. There is a difference that was wrought in your life the moment when you accept Christ as your savior. All right. And another way to really have that discipline is to practice gratitude. Learn to say thanks. Go back to God. Say, "Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you for this. Thank you for this day. Thank you for really coming through for me. Thank you for the plans that you have towards me." Just be thankful, and it make you be disciplined. So whatever trials that come in your life, you say, "Lord, I know you know about it from before this happened. So I'm giving you thanks for this trial. Help me to see in it what you'd have me to learn from it. You know, and you need like spiritual discipline. You need to be patient and persistent. Everything that's going to just happen overnight, one, two, three, is a process. You know, it's a process. And all of just like fruits on a tree, like on a mango tree or an apple tree, you're not going to find all of them ripe at all at one time. Some ripe before some. Some right before some, and you know, it gradually ripe until all, you know, so all of you, even though all of you are on the tree, all of you are inched on to the tree, that doesn't mean you're going to ripe at all at once. And sometimes not all of you are going to be at the same size. You know, some of you are going to some of you are going to drop, some of you it's going to be smaller, some going to be big, some, you know, so it's a process, it's a gradual process. So just be intentional about being persistent and be patient and live according to your value. Value yourself. When you value yourself, you will value your Christian walk because you know that you're not your own. You belong to Him. Amen. I hope that give you some encouragement in your spiritual discipline. I hope that open up a can. Not this may not be conclusive, but it just may open the appetite to read more about it and spend time, really spend time with God, and don't be afraid to lift your hands up and surrender. Just worship is a sign, you know, is a sign to of is a sign of humility to just lift your hands up. Nobody don't need to tell you to just praise God, just lift your hand up and praise Him. Just praise Him through. Sometimes you started off not knowing what to praise Him for, but as you continue to praise, you will suddenly remember something good that He have done for you. Amen. Over to Sister Camille.
Bless the Lord. I just want to add very briefly to the end of that deacon, because it says lack of
Yes.
spiritual discipline. So I'm not sure what context the person wrote. I'm not sure if it's to say, oh, I just can't bring myself to read the Bible every day. I can't, like, I struggle to be disciplined in, because discipline would be training somebody to obey rules, you know. So in this,
Yes.
I'm thinking lack of discipline in the sense that we can't manage. It's like I can't build a routine to go and read the word. I can't build a routine to go and pray. I just feel like I can't bother, and I just, you know. And so I would say to them that Hebrews, I think is Hebrews 12, verse 11 says, no discipline seems pleasant
Amen.
in the initial stage, but it is painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. So I'll say that to say, listen, if you're struggling to go, you're not alone, right? You're not alone. There are other persons, and it's okay, and it's normal to feel that way. However, what you're going to do now is to fight. You're not going to give in and say, you just can't. You're
Yes.
going to fight it. You have a made up mind, and you're being intentional, as what Deacon would have just said. So you're going to fight your way to that place where you build that routine where you can do it. You know, one of the things when I
Amen.
started out and I was struggling, I had a tracker, like, and I would, if I do it on Monday, I check mark it, and if I do it on Tuesday, I check mark it. You know the kind of motivation it brings to say, oh my God, all of this week, and I spent that time in, you know, in the presence of the Lord. When I say one day come now, I say, no, I can't break the trend. You know, it serves as a sort of motivation, right? So write it, track it on your phone, track it on paper. If it work, what works for me might not work for you, but try it and see. There's a point too when I would say, all right, 8 o'clock every night I'm meeting with the Lord, and I would set my phone to alarm like 7:50. And if I am cooking, you try and know me turn down the stove or me turn it off, because I just don't want to miss that time. It's like every day I'm
Amen.
working towards that time, you know, until it started, instead of it being so much of a pressure, it started becoming a pleasure. I was looking at the time to say, is it not 8 o'clock yet? I want to get into the presence of the Lord, you know? So those are, you know, two practical examples that you can try it. If it doesn't work, then we will come back and we will try again. But if it works, then, all the better for you.
Yes.
Amen. Praise God. Our question number two, our response number two says, the biggest struggle would have been being able to control my thoughts. My mind tends to stray a lot sometimes when I'm praying and reading the Bible. I tend to picture things whenever I read or listen, but sometimes my mind strays to things that are unrelated. And, just looking at this response, I feel like this is something that, happens a lot with believers. And even at after how many years for me, sometimes I have to rise up sometimes and, shut down certain thoughts. I'm going to pray. How dare you present yourself? So I will say that don't feel like it's you alone in the whole world it is happening to. It's common, right? But there are some ways that we can fight it. And it won't disappear. You do it today and it disappears tomorrow. No. But as Deacon Scott would have said, it's a process. As gradually and you continue to do these things, then it continues to happen less and less until you realize that you don't have it anymore, or you don't have it as much, or you know how to combat it when it comes. Right? The first thing I would encourage you to do is to pray. Pray before you pray. Pray before you pray. Lord, I'm going to pray now. I pray that you will just remove whatever thoughts in my mind. Just cleanse me. That prayer of consecration. Submit your mind and God, help me to focus on you. Help me to pray about the right things. Help me to go in the direction that you want me to go. It's kind of like, when you go to the supermarket and you come home and you have all the bags and you just come in and you put down all of the bags. And possibly go to the bathroom now to just to relieve yourself. But before you go into the bathroom, what you put on all of the bags, put them down. And that prayer of consecration helps you to put down every baggage, everything that happened at work, everything that was causing you to feel perplexed. Try to put them down. And how you put them down, you pray. Ask God to take them away from you.
Amen.
The person said, you try, and I think this person is trying to is already doing one of the things that I believe work. It says I tend to picture things whenever I read or listen. When you're praying, for me, when I go to pray, silence my spirit, and then I would envision. I don't know if this works for everybody, but this is what I do. I envision God on the throne, and I just envision myself at his feet. And just bowing down and just giving myself, I'm just at the foot of the cross right there,
Hallelujah.
and just begin to pour from my spirit. I'm being honest before the Lord, put everything in front of him. But I'm always, for whatever reason, I don't know, I'm always seeing not his face, but him seated on the throne. A lot of times I see it in a robe. I don't know, but I just envision him on the throne, and I just envision him myself at his feet, just praying to him. And for me, when I do that, it brings me to I feel like I'm at a different place. Amen. Praise God. During prayer, when I'm praying, if I find that my mind is going astray, one of the things that can be done, you can recite or declare scriptures over your thoughts, over your mind. The word of God in Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed with a renewal of your mind." And so I am praying, and my mind stray and gone somewhere else, thinking, "You that scripture, you speak it. Listen, I am not conformed. Own it and affirm it. I am not conformed to this world. I am transformed, and even now my mind is being renewed." So get a little sticky notes, write it on there, the scriptures, learn the scriptures, because what is happening, it's a warfare. You're going to pray. The enemy does not want you to pray. So he's sending all of these distractions. When we declare the word of God, the word of God, it's not the Bible, it's not just a book, it's more than a book. The word is sharp. It is alive. All of what you see in here, so it is alive. It has power in it. When you read
Hallelujah.
this word, power can come from it if we believe. So when you go and you're feeling your mind going astray and you pull for that scripture and you said, I am not conformed, I am transformed, my mind is renewed in the name of Jesus Christ. When you say it, don't say it and wait to see if something is going to happen. Say it believing that it is so. And you know, it will eventually come in alignment with what you're dealing with. 2 Corinthians 10, and you can write these down. These are scriptures that deals with the mind, that war in the mind. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. It says, we demolish every argument. This is one of my favorite, because there were times when I struggled in with the mind. I struggled so hard. And this is one of my favorites that I used to pull out and say, I demolish every argument. And this is the
Hallelujah.
NIV version. And every pretension that sets up itself against the knowledge of God, I demolish it in the name of Jesus. I take captive every thought and I make it obedient to Christ in Jesus' name. And I'm intentional. And while I'm saying it, it's almost like I see myself doing it. I see myself touching my mind, taking the thoughts, you know, bringing them down. Those thoughts that want to exalt itself against the knowledge of God, I take them down and I bring them into obedience. I'm very
Yes.
what do you call it now? I'm a tactile learner, kinesthetic, hands-on. So if you see me praying, you're going to see me hands doing stuff. That's just me. It's just it comes out, you know. And so I do it, and when I do it, you know, I take down every thought. How dare you bring it on, and I put you in obedience to what God says in the name of Jesus, you know. And I feel something inside of me. I'm like, yes, I'm ready to go ahead and pray again. Amen. So
Amen.
you can try it. Use the word of God to fight those thoughts. Amen. Praise God. Yes, I believe that's it. And just keep trying. Oh, the passage is 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. Second
Yes, you can actually start from four and five.
verses 4 and 5. All
Yeah,
right.
for the weapons
Continue.
of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty
Right.
through God to the pulling down of strongholds.
Bless the Lord. Right. So 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 and 5. But I like 5 for the mind.
Yes.
I like 5 for the mind. You know, when I do it, I say, all right, I'm ready again. And it don't, if it happens while you're praying and you do it and you feel like you're focused, if it happens again, all you have to do is keep doing it. Because some of these things, you know, you're trying to how should I put it, Holy Spirit? You're trying to get into something, get into a room and the door is locked, and you keep trying and you keep trying and the door is locked and something, and you might rest a little and then you keep trying again. So it might come back. But once you continue and you're consistent in rebuking it every time it comes, you're going to find that it becomes so much easier until you don't even feel it again. You know? So if you're doing it and it is still happening, don't say, oh, may I go just stop because this now work. No. Just keep doing it. You're going to find that it becomes easier. It's not going to be a one-shot thing, wipe clean and done. But over time, because what is happening over time, you're growing and you're becoming stronger and stronger. So the resistance is becoming stronger each time. But just continue to do it. And, you know, in the name of Jesus, it's going to work. Amen. Praise God. Praise
Amen.
God. All right. Thank you. Deacon, you have anything to add before we move on to question number
Yeah.
three?
Yeah, another good verse as I think about it. Another good verse you can add to it is Philippians 4, verse 6 to 7. That says, do not be anxious. You're trying to train your mind here to stay focused. So Philippians 4, 6 and 7 said, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplications, with thanksgiving, Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasseth all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. This reminds us to bring our thoughts and worries to God. So when your mind strays, just bring it to God. Trust in Him, and He will bring the peace that you need to focus. Amen. Another one is St. Matthew 6. St. Matthew 6, verse 33. You can also use that verse too. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. So just prioritize where your thoughts are, and just seek God. Sometimes it's a warfare. You're in a warfare, and you have to keep the thoughts that keep popping up in your mind. You have to keep them under subjection so you can be so you can give God the glory. Things will pop up because we are all human. So things will pop up, but you have to learn how to train your mind. You will come under attack, but you have to know that it's a spiritual thing, and God is the only one that can deliver you. So you pray earnestly, you pray deliberately, you seek Him. Sometimes you'll be there and you're intentional about it with good intentions and stuff, and something does derail you. The kids, the job, your day, so but be intentional. Amen.
Amen. You can't go wrong with any scripture. It's not conclusive, as Zekan would say. Any other scripture that you find that deals with the mind, and you write it on your sticky notes. And I encourage each of us to, if you don't have that quiet space that Deacon mentioned, I challenge you to create it. My prayer life went to a whole different level once I created a section of my closet to pray. And when I would go in there to pray, I am telling you, you're in there for hours and you don't realize that because it's so sweet, but that space, and if you don't have a section of a closet, it could be just a mat in one little area, just whatever area, say, I'm dedicating, this is my altar, and those little sticky notes with the little scriptures, put them there so that you can recite them, so that you know them. And once you know them, the Holy Spirit will prompt you as to when to pull for that weapon and to use it. But any word, any scripture from the Word of God that you use to redirect your mind will work. Any one of them. Amen. All right. Response number three. My biggest struggle is it this one, Deacon? It's consistency.
No, I think he's the one that said when asked to
Okay,
pray.
I'm sorry. Thank you. So this one says, when asked to pray for a specific need, for example, praying for the nation, praying for the children, marriages, financial matters, I struggle for words. Deacon.
Yes, that's a very good question. It's always a struggle trying to find the right words when we pray, to find it. But the Christian life is lived when you give yourself over to God. And it's practical. It may seem difficult listening to the words from my mouth, but giving yourself to God is practical. Then again, it have to be with a transformed and a renewed mind. Your mind have to be renewed. You're giving it to God. You're speaking His words back to Him. When asked to pray for a specific need, a prayer is a conversation that you're having with God Himself. And He's the one who taught us how to pray. As well, about the Lord's Prayer. So each time you pray, can't just focus on the Lord's Prayer. You're going to give Him thanks. You're going to give Him praise. You're going to make a supplication to Him. You're going to thank Him for it. You're going to, just follow that model going down, and it's going to become automatic after a while. You don't even have to think about it again because it's embedded in your prior life. Now, it takes a different toll when you know who you are in Christ and who he is in your life, who Christ is to you. You know, so to get the gist of it, you have to know your position. You know your position, and he's the one that prays through the believers. So use your heart. You know, it's a conversation that you're having. So use your heart. So be honest. Speak honestly to him. Let him know what is in your heart, what is on your heart. Use simple words. Simple words. You know, don't try to use any. Just use your vocabulary, Percy. Use your vocabulary. Use whatever is in your vocabulary. Because we realize that people in Bible who God use, God always ask him, what is in your hand? And they would say, a rod. What is it? What do you see? You know, so God use you where you are in life. You know, he use you where you are. So don't be challenged. Don't be challenged by prayers that you have heard people praying, you know, because they are in a different, we're serving the same God, but maybe we are at a different season. We are in a different season. You know, all right. You know the strength of a prayer. The strength of a prayer is when you have been through something and you honestly know what it is to be in hot waters, when you honestly know that you're at a place where you're in need and you recognize that God is the only one that can help you. When you honestly know that you have been sick or, you know, to the point where you realize that you feel so weak and you pray in that situation, God answer you. You know, when you honestly, you were without a job and you pray and God answer you. You know, so you have to be going through something. So when you hear some people praying some sort of prayer, you know that they have been through something and they have met with Jesus. So don't use that as a distraction. Make it be, develop your own prior life, your own prior time and stuff. You know, you can also use guided prayers. You know, I see a thing in the bookstore, they have book of prayers and stuff where you can go through and read, and you can also the Bible, you can read Ezekiah's prayer, you can you read the Lord's prayer, you can use the prayer that Jehoshaphat prayed, and he said, my eyes is on you. I do not know what to do, but my eyes is on you. You know, simple prayers like that. You can use the prayer of Jabez prayer, when he said, enlarge my territory that I may not cause trouble. You know, so there's so many models of prayer that we can use throughout and stuff. But as I said before, it's not overnight. It's not overnight thing. You know, 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 and 2, Paul would remind the young Christian Timothy, that time he was young in the faith. He said, I urge you then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings in authority. You know, so if you ask to pray for the nation and stuff, you can use this. You know, petitions be made with thanksgiving for all people, including kings and all in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. You know, so a simple prayer for the nation or the kings or whoever in charge would be, Lord, lift up our nation. You know, Lord, I lift up our nation to you. I pray for our leaders, grant them wisdom, integrity, discernment. You know, may they seek your guidance in all decision. Protect our country and bring peace and justice. Thank you, Lord, for your sovereignty over all nations, in Jesus' name. So you just go right to the point. As you read scriptures, as you read passages and stuff, It will enlighten your prayer life, and it will let you be more elaborate on it. But start small. Start with just one scripture. Just say, 2 Timothy said that we must pray with all sincerity, with all thanksgiving and stuff. Just start simple, and then it will catapult in a different direction as soon as the Holy Spirit, would lead you and stuff. So you focus, praying for the children. You want God to cover them. You want God to protect them. So you're going to pray like children are our heritage. You're going to pray the blessing over the children and stuff. You just focus. You just focus on the children there and then. And as you focus, the Holy Spirit will lead you in the path that you would pray. Lord, don't let people abuse them when they go out. Guide them. Let them learn. Let open up their appetite for you so that they won't be led into following bad companies and stuff. You just talk to God the way you see they're living. You say, Lord, I see a little boy and I'm on my way home. It seems like he's in despair. He's just not focused. Lord, I pray that you cause the children to be so conscious. I pray that you will rise up somebody around them, even if their parents are not godly parents, that you'd rise up a godly teacher at school to teach them, our godly friends, just is your heart condition before God, a clean heart. And as you have to catch the vision, it doesn't make sense. You pray for something that you're not passionate about. It's like you have to develop a passion for that particular era that you're praying for. The specific the financial matters, you have to have a passion for it. God have to come true for you, and you see how God come true financially for you. As you live the Christian life, you will be more exposed. You will have a better Christian vocabulary or spiritual vocabulary. Your vocabulary will change as you give yourself to God, and then it will just come it will just come a part of you to just pray as the Holy Spirit would lead you. Amen. I hope you get something from this. I hope you able to pick things from it as we speak. The floor is very quiet. Are we getting anything from it so far?
Yes, we can.
Yes, we are.
Okay. And is there any follow-up questions that you anything that you'd want us to zero in on? It doesn't have to be you who asks the question or whatever, but as you listen to the discussion about it, is there anything that you want to get from it that you haven't seen clearly popping out at you right now? Go ahead, Sister Camille.
Bless the Lord. I just want to add, Deacon, I love practical examples, like when questions ask, what do I take to go back and try? And
Yes.
you mentioned a few of those, and I just want to reinforce praying the word. It's God's word. It
Amen.
was God breathed, right? And so when you give it back to him, it's the Holy Spirit directs you to pray his words back to him. So you're praying for the children and you're struggling, but you don't know what to say. It means probably that you need to spend some time in the word. All right. Nothing is wrong if you're saying you're going to pray now. You say, all right, I'm going to pray for finances. And you take up the Bible and you search for scriptures about finances. Nothing is wrong with that. You read it. Read with understanding, and then you pray it back to the Lord. Amen. If it's a case, because I read this and I get that it's possibly like in a public setting, somebody call on you and say, Sister Ava, can you pray for so and so? Sister Shani, can you pray for so and so? And you might stutter, but I will say, just read the word. The more you read the word, the Holy Spirit shows you how to fit the word in your prayer, as Deacon would have said. The second thing I would say, practice praying in private. Practice. So when you go to pray and you pray for yourself and you put whatever your requests are before the Lord, use the opportunity to pray a prayer for the children. But them say practice becomes perfect or becomes permanent or you get better when you practice. So just practice. Nobody's hearing you. When I say practice, I mean practice praying out loud. You know, you're praying and somebody, nobody, persons might be in the house and you don't have to be on top of your voices, but let the words come out of your mouth, you know, and practice praying for the children, practice praying for finances, little things. And then guess what? The more that you pray, the more the Holy Spirit is going to feed you. It's one of the first
Amen.
times when I was asked to pray for my pastor at church. When I finished the prayer, I was mind blown because me, I said, where did the word come from in my mouth? I could not believe. But what I would normally
Amen.
do every day, because in the mornings, in Jamaica, me get up and me I go work. In the mornings, it's sort of tricky with devotion. And so I would just breathe a word of prayer and gone, you know, because I'm rushing. But every evening, as soon as I come home, them time I used to take taxi, as soon as me come off of the taxi, I may have my little son in fast asleep, I'd put him down. As I put him down, me kick off my shoes right at my bedside. I would kneel down and pray. And so I would pray, and sometimes I struggle for words there, you know, right there in the house. But I still prayed out loud because at that time it's just 12 of us. My husband wouldn't have been home yet. And so I would pray out loud in the house. It didn't matter to me what me I say, how me I phrase it, because nobody else in the house, I didn't care, you know. But then after some time, a couple months of doing that, and I went to church, and pastor said, Sir Camille, please, somebody called me, the moderator, and said, Sir Camille, please pray for pastor who just brought the word. And when I started praying, I kid you not, when I told you some of the words that came out of my mouth, when I go back and I reflect, and I say, after me never know them, there's something there. You know, because when you practice praying in private and you practice building that relationship in private, I promise you the Holy Spirit is going to exalt you in public. He's going to fill your mouth with words. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
We have one more question, one more response on this question. Do we have time to briefly or just cut it here and pick up next time? Let me know what you think. You can put it in the chat or you can open your mic and speak. I just have one more response for this particular question. All right. Sister Candicia. All right, good. That's two. So this is the final question about struggle. This question says, my biggest struggle is in consistency. And I think we briefly touched this already, you know. My biggest struggle is consistency or being intentional with reading the Bible and praying. Oftentimes, I encounter a lot of dry seasons or spiritual dryness. And I will say, as believers, we all go through dry seasons,
Amen.
all of us. You can look in the Bible and see different accounts. When David speak to him soul, I dry him, I down in field. So why art thou cast on, oh my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. My encouraging soul, because he felt down, you know, at that point. Person, as the deer panteth after the water brook, so my soul longeth after you. Him a long after Jesus, which means he
Oh,
doesn't
God.
feel fulfilled. Amen. So all of us encounter dry season, every single one of us. However, it doesn't make us more of a Christian or less of a Christian. Amen. We just have to know that these seasons will come, and when these seasons come, we don't allow it to take us over. We still know that we are in charge of the flesh. And so even though the flesh
Amen.
feels a certain way, we are going to put that flesh under subjection and do what we are supposed to do. We still have a prayer. We still have a read. Even when we don't feel like it, we're going to go and we're going to go before the Lord and we're going to pray and we're going to do it same way. When you don't feel the excitement inside, you're going to do it just the same. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3, 1 and 2 says, to everything there is a season and a time for everything under the heavens. A time to born and a time to die, and it goes on. A time to plant and a time to reap. Amen. And so this shows us that it is the norm. We're going to have times when we're spiritually refreshed and revived, and times when we're spiritually dry. So that's the first thing. It's okay. Hope is not lost. All right. However, when these seasons come, we have to know how to deal with these seasons, right? One of the things that we can do, or some ways that we can cope, in these seasons, it's going to take, as Deacon would have mentioned in the first question, intentionality. You're going to have to want it. If you don't want it, and if you're allowing the flesh to lead, then you're going to struggle, you know, even more. But if you want it and you say, I'm going to fight this, you will overcome. One of the first thing, and I think I mentioned it too, is to schedule a time to meet with the Lord and do it
Amen.
consistently. And sometimes you don't have an hour, or you don't have, if it's 10 minutes, if it's 15 minutes you have, where you can make that time and said, I'm going to God 9:15 every night, 5:30 every morning. If it's even for a short period of time, go ahead and do it. Schedule that time. Say, God, I'm going to meet with you. And when that time comes, if no matter what you do, stop and go. And it's going to take some discipline at first, but after you start going, you're going to realize that it becomes easier. But just be intentional about it. Amen. The next thing in these dry seasons, we're social beings, you know, and we're interactive, and God created us so that we can be a part of community. And that's one of the ways that we can, you know, pull it. The word of God says, iron sharpens iron. You know, we pull
Yes.
from each other, we strengthen each other. And so call up somebody and you know, pray with me, Sister Camille. You can pray with me. You know, I just feel dry. I just feel, get somebody to do it with you. It's good at this point in time to have a prayer partner if the Holy Lord would have led you to such a person. Amen. Because it provides a accountability, you know, when you have that prayer partner, or that partner that you can read the word with. One season I remember, we used to look at like a book at a time. So we say, all right, we meet, I think we used to meet every Friday. And when we meet Friday, we'd look at five chapters. And then for next week, Friday, okay, for next Friday, we're going to read Genesis 6 to Genesis 10, chapter 10. And so all of me now want to read it, because I know I'm going to meet, and I know I have to share. And I take out my book and I read and I write it down, and I go, and you know what jumped out at me? Because you don't want, when you go there to meet persons are not, you know, them nah, people are talking and you don't have anything to, and they say, Sister Camille, what do you think about so and so? And Sister Camille never read it. No. So you get motivated to do it, right?
Yes.
When you have that partner where you say, all right, for this week we'll cover how many chapters, or for today, for the week it can be one chapter, and for today I'm going to read verses 1 to 5 and we're going to talk about it. You know, for the other day, it doesn't matter. As Deacon said, the aim is not to do a whole lot. The aim is to understand and be able to apply what you have read. And so if it's one line,
Amen.
you take it. And as I am growing, I am understanding the Bible in some different ways. You can do a whole sermon with one phrase, the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. This was a part of our scripture. And when I started looking into it, the whole thing, why am I saying this? It's not in the quantity, it's not how much, it's in the quality, it's in what you receive
Yes.
from the word of God, right? So have that partner, call up somebody, pray with them, say, for this season, say, can you pray with me for this season? 7 nights in a row. We're going to meet at 9 o'clock and pray. And just make sure, say, you do it. And make sure it's somebody that will hold you accountable. That if me say to Sister Ava, and I'm And I said, can't bother if you call Sister Eva. Sister Eva will make sure so she called me and said, Sister Camille, how you say we're going to pray? You know? And that it, I pull from Sister Eva's fire and she pulled from mine. And we keep it burning and we move on together. Amen. So make it, find a partner that will hold you accountable. I will say, the person said consistency is a problem. Just keep going. Just keep going. You do 2 days and then you skip one and you say, oh my God. Or you skip two on the fourth, on the fifth day, pick it up back. Even if you miss a day, just keep going. That's what consistency
Amen.
is, you know. Even when you miss a day and you, oh my God, I didn't get a chance to do it. All right, yesterday is gone. 2 days and you do it. Me, I go do it today. Right? You do it today, you do it tomorrow. Even if you miss another day, whenever you realize you miss a day, keep going. Don't be demotivated and say, oh, I missed all of last week. And pick it up back. As soon as you realize that you missed it, pick it up back and keep going. After a while, you're going to find that you'd stop missing days. Amen. So if for the month you do 20 days out of the 31, that's still good. It's a start. Next month, no, you strive to do 25, right? And then you start do 30, then 31, and then you find that it keeps going. All right.
Yes.
Praise God. And finally, I don't know, I got this. I don't know if this is with this question. I think this is for the person who is spiritually dry. I will say silence is not absence. So you might feel spiritually dry and feel like Jesus is not there. But not because he's silent, it doesn't mean that he's absent. He's right there. Amen. So just
Amen.
keep seeking after him. As you, I feel like in those seasons is when David would seek after God even more. As the deer pant after the water brook, so my soul longs after you. When you think about
Oh
the essence
God.
of that scripture, David is just longing after Jesus. It might have been a spiritually dry season for him, but he's just saying to God, listen, I'm yearning after you even more. So those are the times when we push ourselves even more in those spiritually dry seasons. Amen. Deacon, if you have anything to add before we close off in prayer.
Yeah, I just want to leave this scripture with that person, Isaiah 40, verse 31. Let me see if I can pull it up. Isaiah 40, verse 31. And it said, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You know, so it reminds us that when we wait on the Lord in those dry times, our strength will be renewed. You know, it's not every time. And this goes to show that sometimes Christians, your strength will fail and you need a renewness. And they that wait on the Lord, their strength shall be renewed. You know, so your strength may seem dry or you may be in a thirsty spot, but wait on him and he will come through for you. And Lamentation also tells us, Lamentation 3, verse 22 and 23, it tells that great is his mercies. They are renewed every morning. You know, great is his faithfulness. It's renewed every morning. You know, so we can use scriptures like that to strengthen us when we go through times when we feel low in our spirit. You know, David would say, as Sister Camille would say, why are you disquieted in me, O my soul? Hope thou in God. He would encourage himself in the Lord. You know, and it's a good place. Is a good place to be, not in that a good place to be, but to know that you're dry. It shows something. It tells me something. It tells me that you need more. Yeah, it tells me that you have a desire for more of God. It tells me that you're not comfortable with where you are. So it shows that you know what you're about. And you realize that where you are is not where you ought to be. You need something more. And the Lord would see. And the Lord would renew your strength. He would give you new hope, new desires, you know, because you recognize that there is more to you to be offered up to Him. There is more that you need from Him, you know. So be comforted and know for sure that in your dry season, even though you say maybe it's you having more dry season more than wet season, but it just goes to show that your determination that there is more than this. There is more than this that you need. Amen. So be intentional about it. And thanks for the questions. They are great. They are great questions. And I pray and hope that we did justice to them. And this is a continuation, it's not conclusive. So from time to time, we'll encourage ourselves. Sometimes with these same questions are and stuff until we get it right and can stand and encourage someone else. You know? Amen, Sister Camille.
Bless the Lord. We want to, and this concludes today's meeting. Thank you so much for joining us. It's now 9:11. Thank you for allowing us to go over the 1 hour. We pray, as Deacon says, that it was meaningful. And even if you don't take everything, there's one or two things that you can take and that apply. And I pray, declaring that the Holy Spirit will meet you, each of you, at the point of need, and if these are not workable for you, that He will reveal them to you or reveal them to us that we may share with you. But revelation will be made, and so you will be equipped to move forward in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for joining us. And as we get ready to close, I'm going to invite Sister Candicia, who's going to be closing us off in prayer, to go ahead. Go ahead, Sister Candy.
Amen.
Let us pray. Most heavenly and righteous God, we thank you for bringing us together today, even in this virtual space. Thank you
Yes,
for the
Lord.
wisdom shared, the questions asked, and the knowledge we have gained from the information.
Yes, my
As we close this session, we pray that what we have learned will guide and inspire us in the days ahead.
Jesus.
Bless
Hallelujah.
each person who attended, or families, or journeys, and or future steps. Let your peace be with us, Jesus. Give us the
Yes,
strength we
Lord.
need to sustain us,
Hallelujah.
and let your presence remain with us at all times. So bless and keep us now.
Oh,
In
Lord.
Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you
Hallelujah.
so much,
Amen.
Sister
Thank you,
Candy. Thank you so
Jesus.
much, Sister Shanique, for praying on this session. We bless the Lord for each of you, and we pray that you will continue to seek after the Lord so that you will continue to grow. Because once you seek after Him, you're going to grow. And I'm seeing persons who are growing, and I just want to
Amen.
glorify God for the work that He has been doing in each of you. And I want to commend each of you to continue to seek after Holy God, that we may experience more and more of Him. Amen. Allow me 30 seconds to backtrack. As Sister Candy was praying, I remember something that I was led to say when Deacon was sharing about the prayer for the children and stuff. It doesn't have to be a long prayer. Your prayers don't have to be long. You take your time and you start off short and
Amen.
little, and before you know it, you can't stop praying. When I pray now, my husband say, I'm about to pray long today. It's not intentional. It just happens over time. Amen.
Yes.
So you just take your time and you do your little prayer,
Amen.
and it grows and grows and grows on you. So till you find that you can't stop.
You
All right.
lost track of time.
Exactly. Exactly. Amen. Any feedback before we go? See some microphones open. Anybody want?